podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
You might not have noticed that I'm now wearing a new kind of shirt. For those of you who are joining us for the first, this is my wife's influence that said you cannot wear a t-shirt. You've got to wear at least something with a collar. Last Sunday, as I was using the restroom at Vivo, the uncle who has seen me use that restroom for the last 2 years actually greeted me and said, "Good morning, uncle." Now, when you've been greeted by a younger person, uncle, that's all right. When an uncle greets you, uncle, that's a different story. And so I'm actually going to discuss this with my wife and argue my point that I should go back to the old t-shirt. I say all of that in light of wisdom. How many of you know if you're an uncle, you should have white hair and wisdom? And there's a verse in the Bible which says, to number your days aright, that you may gain a heart of wisdom. We don't just nonchalantly, if there's such a word, go through life without numbering the days of our lives. I want to take a few moments here to talk to you about numbering the last 5 weeks of our journey together in the Word in this church. We began the year by talking about what's in it for God. We went through a 5-day of fasting, acknowledging that what we do has some point of glorifying God and living for God. We took a week and talked about what's in it for me. We discussed this idea of light and how light is what brings clarity to our lives and how clarity is such an important facet of our lives. We said that light exposes things in order for us to see clearly. It doesn't just expose, it clarifies things. Things that are dark and things that we don't see very clearly are exposed in the light. More than just exposing it, light brings hope. And finally, light attracts. I had the time to be with my grandchildren, and there's an attractiveness to my relationship with them as I walk in the light of Christ. I'm praying and believing that these young boys will love Jesus as I walk in the light and influence them and attract them towards Him. Now, more than just what's in it for me, we talked about what's in it for others. We took 3 weeks discussing this idea of being anointed. We talked about being chosen and being separated for a purpose. And we talked about serving the church, and we talked about serving beyond the church. And last week, we even went to the level of talking about Chinese New Year and how what we believe should influence society. Today, in light of all of this, I want to remind you that starting next week, we're back on Genesis. I'm excited for Genesis. We've been in Genesis for 2 years, and we're about to enter 3 years of Genesis. But before we get into Genesis, I want to talk to you about something different this morning. Not just what's in it for God, what's in it for me, what's in it for others, but why you need the Word. Why do you need to look at Genesis for another year? Okay. Why do you need to do that? Why do we have to come to church? There's better things to do on a Sunday morning than listen to somebody talk about Genesis for another year. My text this morning is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, the notion, the idea, the concept, the truth that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins, the righteousness of God is revealed, the goodness of God, the morality of God, the purity of God, the judgment of God, where He refuses to pay for something for free, but buys all our debts, all our issues, all our sins in Christ. That reality, that gospel, reveals the righteousness of God. A righteousness that is by faith. In other words, we cannot achieve this righteousness by our own good works. We all have, at some measure, something in our closets, something we're hiding, something that an issue in our lives. There's not a single one of us in this room that can claim righteousness apart from righteousness by faith. In other words, our righteousness comes by putting our trust in God and His goodness. And out of that, it says, from first to last, from beginning to end, the righteous shall live by faith. If we're to live in righteousness, the only way we can do that from first to last, from beginning to end, is by faith. We cannot do that by trying harder, by doing religious acts, by paying our way through. The only way to do that is by faith. A good picture of that would be a fish in a fishbowl. goldfish in a fishbowl can only survive for as long as it's in water. If he gets out of water, that fish will die. He will struggle and die because he was meant to live from beginning to end, from first to last, to live in water. In the same manner that for you and I to live the righteous life, which that simply means a life that works at every level, at the spiritual level, at the emotional level, at the relational level, at the financial level, at the physical level, all of those levels can only work from beginning to end if we walk by faith. Can't achieve it and sustain it apart from that. A fish that goes out of water will look like that. It will struggle to live. The same way that a Christian or a believer or someone who claims to be righteous can only survive day in, day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year by living by faith. Which is why we need to hear the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come from just out of nowhere. It comes when it's preached to you. Now, you may be wondering, why does it not say faith comes from reading? Or why does it say faith comes from spending time with people? It says faith comes from hearing. Now, there's three important reasons why that's being said to us. One is historical. When these words were said, there were no books. The printing press had not yet been invented. It was invented in the 1500s. And so there's 4,500 years of history where there is no books, there is no Bible, and the Word of God was proclaimed. It was spoken of from generation to generation, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down the generations, the Word was spoken and talked about to its hearers. The second reason is relational. The way you learn the Word of God is through community. It's not just an arbitrary sit here, listen to a good message, but there's something about it when you're holding hands with your wife, when your children and grandchildren have the same faith that you have. There's something communal about faith. It's not an isolated thing that we just do. It's something that we do relationally. And finally, it's spiritual. There's a breath that comes out when another human being contains the Word of God and declares it over you, whether that's you declaring it over your wife or your children or your grandchildren. When you speak that word in faith, there's that breath that comes out that doesn't normally just come out anywhere. So the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. It's not just hearing words. You could go to a TED Talk. Nothing wrong with those. But that's not what's going to build your faith. What will build your faith is hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you exit this room and live out the rest of the year, you will find that there will be hundreds of voices, thousands of voices, tens of thousands of voices that you're going to accumulate over the year. Nothing wrong with these voices. There are going to be voices about how to hack this and how to do that. And some of those are actually going to be beneficial for you. But let me just warn you that those voices can crowd out the most important voice that you need to hear. And that's the voice of faith. Because without that voice, the righteous cannot pursue the life that God intended for them. And so we need to have this ability to hear by the Word of God. Now notice, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is not simply a compilation of literature. The Word of God is not simply a manuscript. The Word of God is actually living and active. It's actually something that grows in you, that works in you, that does stuff to you, that causes you to grow in your spirit on the inside of your inner man. It's not just literature, not just a book. There's something that's supernatural and spiritual about the Bible. Now, there was an interesting book that was published in 1997. It was called Biomimicry. Interesting book. If you're a designer or you're into biology and science, it's worth buying one. After this book was published, companies that manufactured and invented products began to hire biologists as part of their R&D teams. The book suggested that if you watch nature, if you look at the lotus leaves and under a microscope, these leaves actually have bumps. And these bumps tend to cluster and make water boil into something so that it actually slips off the leaf. It has a mechanism that cleans itself up when frogs urinate on them. Amen? And if you created that and mimicked nature, you could create paint that when you wipe it on a wall, it creates these bumps that washes these walls off with dirt and stain when rain comes. It talked about how when you look at geckos and lizards and study their palms, you can see suction things that you can manufacture or adhesives that kind of stay on for a while and then you can literally pull out and stick again somewhere. It talked about ants and how ants had that ability to communicate with each other and create colonies and how networking systems could be built and communication could be enhanced. It was an interesting book. Probably the most interesting part of it was it talked about these kingfishers that were snipers and would fish and would silently stalk fish and then dive down and get them. And out of that, they designed the Shinkansen in Japan. That if you use that same nozzle, that same nose, they accumulated at least 10% greater speed, 15% less fuel efficiency or greater fuel efficiency, and less noise when the train traveled. Biomimicry is like a picture of what the Bible is to the spiritual. We think that nature has its limits, and yet we now are realizing that nature has so much to give, so much more the things of the Spirit that are infinite in its wisdom. That the more we hear it and understand it and reason from it, life comes into our souls. Our rationalizations, our reasonings, the way we do life changes on the inside because it's living and active, the Bible says. Further, it says it's like sharper than a two-edged sword. When you think about something that's sharper than a two-edged sword, you can only think of what is known as a scalpel. In many ways, that's what the Bible does. It actually operates on your heart. Sharp thing that literally cuts you up and opens you to reveal what's on the inside. Scalpel is designed to literally cut through a bone because certain things in our lives are so hard, it requires something of a little bit more stronger nature, something that's sharper. That's what the Bible is. When you read the Bible, when you hear the Bible preach, it kind of convicts you. It does something to you. It makes you realize something's not quite in order with my life because it's not aligned with God's truth. And allows me to adjust properly into the nature and righteousness of God. Notice where it says, two-edged sword, and it pierces deep inside of you. When we become just religious, when we go to church and simply just want to listen to a word and do our religious Sunday duties, the Word of God doesn't work for us. When we intently listen to God's word and allow it to pierce our inner nature, our inner man, changes in our lives throughout the course of the year will happen. Some people have argued, I'm tired of listening to Genesis every Sunday. Amen? Let me tell you something about Genesis. You can read Genesis for the next 10 years every day. It will live and breathe life into you. Because the Word of God is living and active. It will pierce through you. It will transform you. It will change you. It has nothing to do with what the preacher says. When that preacher declares that word, the power of that word will pierce into the division of your soul and spirit. When you read the Bible, you will rarely find a verse that says soul and spirit. The Bible actually likens soul and spirit as one. In this verse, the reason why it's being used is because it's not referring to just the soul. Pretty much, when the Bible says soul, it's referring to the spirit. And when the Bible says spirit, it's referring to the soul. But this verse actually divides that even further. It says you're not just a spiritual being. You're not just a physical being. There is a natural being inside of you, a natural bent. That's why it's wrong to say that my religion is your religion because at some level, you're unique. There's a natural bent in you that's between you and God. Same way that there are natural sins in you that's just common to you. Amen? Some issues that I have to deal with that you probably will not have to deal with. I'm now in a nutritional program. And for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's been amazing. The energy level has been, and the promise of this guy, this coach that I hired, is that if you keep with me for the next 6 months, I'm going to bring you back to your 30s. Gosh, that's, man, that's amazing. Right? And that, last week, I flew to Manila, and I hit a wall. I crashed. And I started binging on M&Ms. Amen? I mean, how many of you know you're still an M&M person? Because once you're born into M&Ms, you stay with M&Ms. Thank God I got delivered of Milky Duds. And I backslid. And on my way back here, I was falling asleep on the plane. I was falling all over the plane. Because I just binged on sugar all of a sudden, out of nowhere. And so last night, he called me and said, I crashed. And then I was actually repenting to him. I was saying, I made a mistake. I took all these coconut cider vinegars and all these coconut oils and all these healthy stuff. I've got all this energy, and all of a sudden I fell. Because that's the reality of who we are. We will. In fact, it's not a question of whether you will or you will not. It's a question of when. And that's why we need God to keep saving us each and every time, to bail us out. That's the gospel. The gospel is paid for my sins, past, present, and future. It's not supposed to be an excuse to live and eat more M&Ms. Amen? I'm repentant. Hallelujah. I'm not going to eat M&Ms for the next 6 months. But then again, there's times when I do fail. It's a natural bent. And he's saying this divides the natural from the natural to the spiritual, that there's something greater and higher, and that this word pierces through the bones, pierces through the flesh, gets to that inner person, that spiritual man, and says, you're not supposed to live that way because that's not how you were meant to live. The word of God is powerful. He goes on to say, of the joints and marrow, the writer of Hebrews is basically making a point of saying joints are like bones, and these are hard surface levels that you need to cut through. But bones without marrow is dead. They'll break. It's that marrow, that spirit that goes inside that bone that causes it to live and thrive and get stronger. It's the difference between a tooth that's dead and decayed and has fillings in it and a teeth that's alive. He says this word is the thing that gives it that power. He's talking about the surface level, from the surface level to something that breeds life, causes you to triumph over the life that God gave you. It gives you the ability to discern the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is the reason behind it? It allows me to do that. Finally, in verse 13, he says, no creature is hidden from his sight, but are all naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. As I pondered this thought, I couldn't help but think of a guy doing surgery. You know, when you got a scalpel and someone is doing surgery with you, how many of you know when someone is doing surgery with you and you're under anesthesia, you're bare and naked, amen? There's nothing you're hiding from that guy. If you've got holes in your underwear, he sees it, amen? That's who God is. There's no point in hiding from him. He sees all the uglies. And despite that, he chooses to love you. But he wants to take that scalpel. You know, it's one thing to have a scalpel in the hands of a neophyte who doesn't know what he's doing. It's another thing to put a scalpel in an experienced surgeon. It's one thing to put the scalpel in the hands of God, the master, and say, Lord, do your surgery with me. Show me where the issues are. The voice of faith is not something you just hear. In fact, there are limits to hearing the voice of faith because you are not always going to be around the pastor every Sunday or every day of your week or 24 hours a day. And there's a second and more important layer of knowing the voice of faith. And that is to meditate on the word day and night. The secret to the power of this word is not just hearing it, but when you hear it, that you would meditate on it not just once, but literally every day. In fact, not just every day, but day and night. That you would rationalize and that you would reason and that you'd view your world from the eyes of faith. That the way you move, the way you think, the way you process life, the way you deal with issues is based on this word. The way you run your marriage and the way you run your finances and the way you raise your children is based on the Word and not arguing and questioning and debating with God and saying, I don't think that's what it says, and just taking a hook, line, and sinker and saying, God, you said it, I'll do it. And then we can watch our world happen. The goodness of God take place in our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is an example of that. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Now think about that moment. I'm sitting there, and this man has seen me. This uncle has seen me for the last 2 years use that restroom. But for whatever reason, on this given Sunday last week, he said, good morning, uncle. And I looked at the mirror, and I thought, the only reason he said that is because of these collars. As I walked out there, I thought about meditating on the word. Where, finally, brothers, whatever is true, what he said is true. It's true, isn't it? You are 62 years old. You're a grandfather. Not only that, whatever is honorable, there's nothing dishonorable being that. Hello? It's powerful how you can meditate on the word in various ways and how the word comes alive when you use it for what it is and not just take it for granted. I've read that before. Some of you, when you've been through a passage in Scripture, you just bypass, I've read that before. No. Stay in that verse. Meditate on that verse, and you'd be amazed at what that verse will actually reveal to you. I started pacing, and I said, whatever is just, it's just good. You know why it's just? It's because you're not going to be young forever, amen? It's good to meditate on that. It's good to know that you're not going to be here forever. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you're outmoded, you're old, you're an old model. Let me tell you something. You're going to get here, amen? You will get here. Make no mistake about it. If you think you're going to escape this, you're not. You're not meditating enough to know the truth. The truth is, you will get here sooner than you think. Sooner than you think. Because God is just. No one escapes this. No one has escaped this thing called death. No one has, and no one will. And there will be a moment of accountability and judgment. There will be a moment where you're going to lay down in that operating table and there will be a scalpel. And there will be an accounting. But whatever is pure, he says. Not just whatever is just, but pure. I thank God for 37 years of marriage. I thank God for being faithful and remaining pure. I thank God for it. I was in the arcade with my grandsons, and I'm looking at them, and I thank God for the peace in our home. I thank God that there's no arguing, and there's no fighting, and there's no bickering, and there's no envy, and there's no, none of these issues exist because we built on the way to build, which is the foundation of the Word of God. Whatever is lovely, it's a lovely thing to grow old. Amen. Some of you don't like to hear that. Whatever is commendable, and that's commendable. You could use this very same verse to meditate on your own life and very different from mine because the Word of God is living. It's active. If there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, he says, meditate on these things. That's what the Bible is. Whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is beautiful, whatever is praiseworthy, everything that Scripture tells us is just, is pure, is excellent. Is praiseworthy. He says, when you think about these things, he says, and then he goes on to say, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Here's the clincher for meditating on the word. What you've learned and received historically, by the way, if you wonder how you teach your children the word of God, it's not what you tell them or how you drag them to church, it's what you look like the rest of the week. Amen? Some of you didn't get that. Let me repeat that. When your son starts talking in Singlish, guess where he got it? It's that simple. In other words, if your son starts acting like a monkey, he just saw a bigger monkey. It's that simple. That's why we can't fake this thing. It's either it's real or it's not. And we see a next generation that behaves the way we behave. It's because they picked it up from us. Habits transfer, folks. He says, what you've heard and seen in me, practice these things. You know why he says that? It's not enough to just think these things. What you never forget in life are the things you put into practice. If you fail to brush your teeth today, it's because you don't practice brushing your teeth. And the reason why you never fail to brush your teeth is because you've been practicing it for a long time. The things that you do and live become part of your nature, become who you are. Promises, the God of peace will be with you. That's the reason why we need the Word of God. That's the reason why we want to hear the Word of God. As I close, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, here's the reason why. Because there's a pattern to this world. This world wants you to conform to a pattern that is not of God's Word. It says to conform, to fit you in, to create habits in you, practices and ways of thinking that need to be transformed. He says the only way you can transform that is by renewing your mind. The more you hear the Word, I didn't live this way. I was very far from this kind of attitude. But God changed me as He renewed my mind. Then He says you will be able to test and approve. You will be able to know and recognize. You'll be able to see what is false and what is wrong and what's deceitful. It says not just be able to recognize, you'd be able to embrace that which is of God and say, this is God's way. I refuse this way not because of any other reason other than the fact that I recognize this is God's way. And then I embrace it. Then it says, I will know God's will. And progressively, as I move in the way of God, I will realize how good God's will is. As I further walk in that will, I realize that the light lightens upon me. God's will is not good, it's just pleasing. It's actually pleasurable, it's actually enjoyable. More importantly, as I keep walking in that path, I realize God's will is perfect. The Bible says to test and approve what God's will is, and I was reminded of this thing that I kept on my laptop about this guy who took a test. Circle the smallest number. That's like people who read their Bibles and don't understand it. They thought they passed the test. It doesn't work that way. It works with a heart that's yielded. It works with a heart that says, God, I'm willing to receive your truth. It works with a heart that says, God, I may not understand it right now, but as I walk in community with others, as I meditate on your word day and night, that truth will come to bear. I close with a video, and then we're going to pray about this child who was going to hear his parents for the first time. For the first time, he's about to hear the voice of his parents. He's never heard them before. And watch what happens. When you meditate on the Word and your whole being and your mind is consumed by the truth of who God is, that's pretty much the Word you're going to hear. That's the Word I hear just about every day when I pray. As soon as I open my eyes and say, God, I just want to set this day before you. You know, the first things I normally hear, and this has probably been going on for 34 years now, 36 years. Joey, I love you. That's what I heard this morning. Joey, I care for you. Joey, I want to bless you. Joey, I want to prosper you. Joey, I want to give you the best. I rarely hear God say, Joey, you stupid nincompoop, you failed again. And even when he does that, it's usually in light of, son, you don't want to go there. That's going to destroy you. The problem why we can't hear God very often is because we don't hear the Word as often. And we think it's a side issue. It's a religious thing that I've got to do, and that's not the truth. The truth is we are spiritual beings with physical experiences. And the way you do that is the more you hear the truth and put that in your soul, and the spirit inside of you rises as Jesus Christ has caused you to be born again of the Spirit, you will find that you will hear God clearer. His guidance will be upon you. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Just be still. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. There's some of you here, the Lord just wants you to go to the next level of life. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. He wants you to walk in His righteousness and His peace. Bible says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you just lay hands in your hearts right now? Father, seal this truth in each of our hearts. Make us love your word. Just say that with me. Lord, teach me to love your word, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Look up here for a minute. Bible says that our brains are washed with the constant washing of the water of the Word. Think about a dirty canister. I had my shake this morning, and my routine is I fill up that shake and drink the avocado and all of that, and I make sure I rinse it because it hardens. That's what you want to do. Before anything hardens throughout your day, you shake that thing with the water of the Word. You clean that out and you clean that vessel, and your thoughts become the thoughts of God. And your walk becomes the walk of God. And your faith becomes this faith in righteousness from God, not your own ability. Amen? Seal this truth, God, in each of our hearts, even as we depart from here. Teach us to hear you, to hear your word, to meditate upon your word day and night. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.